Blog Talk Radio.
Peace be on our noble and honorable listening audience. You've listened once again to another edition of Religion Means Alive. I'm your host, Imam Alfred, the host of Religion Means Alive. And we are calling, we are broadcasting today from the great city of Newark, New Jersey, the Wheatley Park. Over 7,000 people have gathered here. And we're broadcasting live to those 6,000 to 7,000 people, hurling the good news that goodness is on the rise. Despite all the difficulties, despite all of the pain, despite all of the political shenanigans, God himself is operating. And he's operating through this community. He's operating through this ministry. And we are going to build community life for our people. Now, we have a very excellent program. We're still continuing the theme. Someone asked me to come out to the park to address the people because they said in the process of addressing the people, there will be young people there. And I'm going to probably give two addresses today since we have such a large audience. But I'm going to ask our brother and friend to continue the theme that we have launched since we have for the since we have begun a series from mass incineration to mass incarceration to mass resurrection. We have our brother and friend and colleague, person I love dearly, and worked with hard, and looking forward to seeing him at the Muslim convention to help swing the axe. I speak of none other than the Imam Selma, Alabama. That's almost sound like an oxymoron. 70 years ago, so you got an Imam in Selma, Alabama. One wonders whether an African American even walked through the streets of Selma, Alabama, without being shot down 70 years ago. And yet, Almighty God saw fit to make Selma one of the last battle stations of the human rights movement. So without further ado, for the next 50 minutes, we're going to have some opening remarks, comments by our brother and friend, Imam Yusuf Abdul Salam, as I introduce him, former city councilman, former state legislator, former law professor, full-time practitioner of Islam, but still has his law book ready, willing, and able to be a practicing attorney, ready, willing, and able prosecute for the city of Selma. The next voice you heard will be the voice of Imam Yusuf Abdul Salam.
Dearly beloved friends and participants and the activity that's going on today, let me greet you with a very deep and heartfelt greeting. In this greeting, a lot of people are confused and they think that the greeting is limited to Muslims in a technical sense. Not in the broad sense that Abraham or our father Ibrahim was a Muslim or Musa, peace be upon them both, were really Muslims, but in the narrow sense of a greeting that's limited to the people who follow Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. That's not the case. This is a greeting that goes all the way back to the great seer from Salem, Melchizedek, the high priest of Salem. And Salem means peace. And Salem is a form of Salaam. So now when we greet the audience with the greeting of As-salamu alaykum, that greeting extends to every human being present, whether they're so-called Muslim or not. The Creator, human creature, has put a deep-seated need in the human being to shun a hellish state and to gravitate or move toward or to be attracted to or to want to cling to, not a state of hell, but a state of peace. In my wonderful Christian upbringing, I remember so many of the African Americans that I looked up to. They would always call upon the words of the 23rd Psalms and the prayer, the dua of Prophet Dawood, or peace be upon him, or the one is commonly known as David. And he would ask God to lead him toward or by the still waters, to bless the waters of his emotional makeup, to be tranquil, to be serene, to be still, because still waters run deep, so that the water sensitivities of his soul would be at peace and at rest, that the when the storms of life would not ruffle his peace. Oh God, bring me into the state that all the prophets have wished for the people and that I just wish for you. As-salamu alaykum, peace be unto you. And if you greet a human being today, please do not wish them hell. Please do not tell them hello. Please do not tell them to go to hell. I implore you. I request that you greet them in the state that you want for yourself. And that's a state of peace. Goodness is indeed on the rise, and it's been on the rise in a big way ever since the late Timothy Drew brought a new wind right in Newark, New Jersey, that blew over the soul of black folks in this country. When he brought a new arc, a new way of looking at things, a new way of walking, a new way of talking, a new way of strutting his stuff. Bought a new boat, bought a new ship, bought a new canoe, bought a new steamboat to ply over the waters of the African American collective soul. Call them in his way, in his powerful new beginning. back to the religion of many of their slave ancestors who were brought over from West Africa. Ancestors were proud inhabitants of the Islamic Kingdom of Mali, of the Islamic Kingdom of Shanghai, of the Islamic Kingdom of Ghana, with great leaders like Askia Muhammad and the great Mansa Musa, whose kingdom was so rich in old world Africa that when he made the pilgrimage to Mecca, he could give away so much money and gold that the whole world financial system was put in a state of shock, because this African Muslim ruler coming out of the home of slavery in the future, West Africa, has such a high development of civilization. Yes, goodness on the rise, but goodness didn't just start rising. Goodness started rising in 1913 in Newark, New Jersey, with Noble Drew Ali, the founder of the Moorish American movement, began to move African Americans to a new cow, not an old Jersey cow, but a New Jersey cow, not an old Jersey cow, not the cow that we were given through Paul in our slave indoctrination in religion, where we were given milk as if we were baby people, but a new holy cow that would strengthen our bones as a people in a Ezekiel-like dry valley, where calcium and a new milk would make us strong and stand up. A New Jersey cow giving food and drink to the people on a new ark. Yes, goodness is on the rise. And if we had stuck to the principles that was early on articulated by messenger coming out of Newark, he brought a message. He certainly was not a Sulu in the sense of a prophet, but he brought a message. If we had stuck to those principles that grew into the founding of the Nation of Islam, 1 year after Noble Drew Ali of Newark passed away or was removed from the earthly plane in 1929 in Chicago, Illinois, his sentiments grew into the birth, even though they were separate, a continuation of this return to the Islamic inheritance of the displaced, captured, enslaved African in America. And just the beginning of this week, Monday, July 4th, 2016, we saw the Islamic movement that was once called the Nation of Islam celebrate its 86th birthday. It's 86th birthday. And what and how did that movement led by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, what did it add to the movement of his predecessor, his forerunner, his partner, who opened the door so that he could walk in? He identified us. Who are we? Who is myself? Who am I? Myself is a righteous Muslim. And as long as African American people are righteous people, then no one can appeal to the weak side of our nature, stimulate us to be inclined toward wickedness, evil, in a fiery life of crime, murder, mayhem, brother killing brother, son robbing mama, grandson robbing grandmama, the hellish fire in our neighborhood, door to door, house to house, by power, out of a gun, by power, out of ignorant, abusive language toward each other, by power in terms of hate toward each other. If we had stayed in the waters of the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, who am I? Myself is a righteous Muslim who has been baptized on the waters of the new ark. And I refuse to allow this world to turn me into a vicious, fiery killer, murderer, whose destiny is to be locked up in a cage for the best years of my life. Yes, goodness is on the rise, but it didn't just stop now. We should have stayed in the waters upon which the New Ark move, the New Ark movement started, moving our people in these urban areas around the country to what state of being a clean, baptized, righteous Muslim. When we move away from that identity, well, what about a Christian? Don't you know Jesus was a Muslim? Well, I'm a black Jew. Don't you know Moses was a Muslim? Don't you know Jesus brought the people of water that if they drink, they would never thirst again? Don't you know Moses struck the rock and out of it came waters for his people? So now, that's how we put out this fire of mass incineration, thereby not giving the enemies of our people an opportunity to kill us, to jail us, and to sow weakness in our community. I said an opportunity to kill us, not a justification to kill us. Want to make that clear. There's nothing we're doing in terms of our behavior, and some of our behavior is not good, to justify some savage officer shooting an African-American male, like what happened to Alton Sterling, in the chest, inches away, 3 or 4 times, blasting out his heart. 3 or 4 times, blasting out his heart. Someone on TV crime. Auntie on TV crime. Lady on TV crime. It's nothing that Philando Castile was doing in that car with his lady, with his baby in custody, 4 years old, that should have allowed him, should have put him in a position at least to be shot in the arm 4 times and then to be allowed to bleed to death like a stuffed hog, like a butchered pig, like a wild, boorish animal. I want to make that clear. And don't nobody have to tell me that all law enforcement people are not bad. I know that. I was once one of the leaders of Selma City government. I was the number 3 man in Selma City government. I worked with law enforcement. I defended law enforcement. To this day, some of my best buddies in the Black Belt are in law enforcement. But if they want to do their job, then they need to check some of their murderous colleagues. And if I was still in government, even though I cherished the relationship with law enforcement, I would check even the innocent, challenging them to weed out the bad, to get the rotten apples out of the barrel, to separate the wheat from the chaff. They have that responsibility. They have the responsibility to challenge the weakness in the law enforcement culture. But having said that, I hope none of you in the audience go and crazily start wanting to harm the group who are in a position to protect and serve our community, even though some don't live up to that obligation and that responsibility. Because our houses are still burglarized. Our families sometimes are still victimized. Some of us are murdered. Some of us are killed. We need the presence of fair, concerned law enforcement in our community. We need to return back to to the water of righteous living, so that these fires can be removed from our community, so that our precious young warriors are not systematically brainwashed through music, through other negative influences, to take on a life that eventually allows them to be burned to a crisp, incinerated in fiery passions, and our enemies sit back and throw them in jail and lock them up. Babies missing their fathers, incarcerated, but was incinerated before he was incarcerated. Lovers and mates missing their significant ones, locked up, jail, away from for years. Mothers and fathers missing their beloved offspring, locked up in prison, incarcerated. Strong young warriors who started off with promise in life, academically, in the world of athletics, just good community brothers, get caught up in the fire of the mass incineration, and then enter the criminal justice system, treated sometimes fairly, but most of the time unfairly, allowing the old fairy tale song to be worked against us. Eeny, meeny, mighty, moe, catch your hand by the toe. If he holler, let him go. Eeny, meeny, mighty, moe. For some of you young folk, you may not have heard that before, and some of you older folk may not know that that was something that the enemies of our people crafted, the camouflage, the plan for us. We talked about Noble Drew Ali in Newark. We talked about the ark. We talked about the boat. And any time a boat breaks down, any time a boat tear up, any time a boat malfunction, even though any time a boat does not move on the waters, in and of its own mechanical powers, they have to send another warrior instrument out to tow it in. Have you ever thought about the fact that those five digits on our feet, on our feet, sound just like a boat, sound just like the boat that totally broken down boat in, T-O-W-T-O-E. Now, we put a boot on our foot. If you study a dictionary, boot and boat are written as sound alike. B-O-T, B-O-T, go look it up. On the bottom of our foot is something called an ark. that sound like the ark in Newark. And the bottom is also called a soul. Just like the spiritual makeup in our being, the sensitive emotional makeup. There's also a fish that swims through the water that's called a soul fish. So what are these enemies of our people telling us? First, we're going to control them by the waters in the church. Mama teaching them don't do this. Daddy teaching them don't do that. You're going to appeal to their soul. And if they get out in the streets, a lot of them ain't get to doing their thing. They're no longer listening to the church teaching. We're going to appeal to their toes, their five senses. Just like we have five fingers and five toes, and the human being has five points. Unlike an animal that got six points. A head, a tail, and four legs. The human being has 5 points. A head, two arms, and two legs. We have 5 senses. So our 5 senses are there to tell us, let's not do this. If I do this, I'm going to have to go to jail. If I do this, I can lose my life. And these enemies be saying, if they lose their common sense, if they get on fire, if they get to burning up, then our plans is to take that in, lock him up in jail, treat him like an animal, throw away the key, eat him, meet him, mind him more, let him go straight to jail, let him go straight to fiery hell. And so it's no wonder that large numbers of our people, and now we see a steady increase in incarceration of some of our females. Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us that we are righteous Muslims, that we are not to allow our enemies to manipulate our fiery desires for money, material goods, and all this other stuff to the extent that they can trap us violating the law, sending us straight to hell, locking us up in jail, and throwing away the key, giving us these long enhanced sentences, unfair sentences. Yes, goodness is on the rise. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad had a song. And when his son was born, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and his wife taught this song from the time that son was a little baby. From the time that son was knee-high to a duck. Wallace, know yourself. Yourself is a righteous Muslim. And then they took a book of sunlight called the Holy Quran. They took a pure book. They took a clean book. the sun in the sky above his head. In the sunlight of this Quran began to dry up the waters of his righteous Muslim nature. Just like the physical sun, do you understand, draws up the waters from the rivers, from the lake, from the ocean, draws it up, draws the moisture up. This book, the Holy Quran, was put above him, and the truth of that Quran began to bring his righteous nature upward. Just like goodness is on the rise, the waters of this good, clean human makeup begin to rise toward that Holy Quran. The waters in his soul, dearly beloved audience, because Noble Drew Ali came out of Newark and laid the foundation for the work of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad laid the foundation for the work of his son that was taken up to a mighty understanding of the Holy Quran, the glorious Quran, the magnificent Quran, the clear Quran. Look what happens to that rain. It goes up, the water goes up. It cools off. It forms a cloud. And if it rains hard enough, even if it's a fire, if it rains hard enough, long enough, and strong enough, there's a possibility it could put out the fire. But we do know that if that earth is dead, if that grass is dead, if that corn is dead, if that plant life is dead, when that rain from the sky, when that rain from heaven hit it, that grass, that earth is revived, that grass, that earth is resurrected. And even though it was incarcerated by the heat of the sun, that same sun drew up the waters from up under the Newark, took it up to the heavens, cooled it off. And that Holy Quran took the waters of Elijah's son up into the clouds of confusion. After he was confused with the nature of reality, after he was taught that the black man was God, that the white man was the devil, after he was in the clouds of confusion, Almighty God opened up the light of Quran to him, gave him guidance, gave him the truth that Jesus talked about that could set us free. Yes, goodness began to rise with Noble Drew Ali, who started building on the Newark for our people, who took us away States from that old ship of Zion. Took us away from the polluted waters of that old ship of Zion and began to construct a new ark. That work was completed and continued. It was continued under Elijah Muhammad and completed with his son. And in 1975, in the city where Noble Dualee passed away or was removed from this earthly plane, some say murdered or assassinated, 1929, that same city, the waters came down from heaven in the form of the life-giving teachings of the Holy Quran to resurrect the lost found African-American, to bring about the possibility of a new life, navigating a new ark, a new knowledge. That's what the ark is, a new kind of wisdom, a new kind of understanding. Newark is not too far away from Philadelphia. The son of Elijah taught in Philadelphia. Call us to this not love train. Call us not to this love train. But because he loved us, he called us to the love ark that started being constructed in Newark. But did we love our brother back? Did we respect our brother? Did we listen to the great waters from heaven in the form of clear knowledge, wisdom, and understanding from the Holy Quran? Did we, as a people, reject that blessing? Did we, as a people, reject those waters alive? Let me tell you, the enemy of our people saw us rejecting it, saw us refusing the waters of life. And they say, well, if they don't want the waters, and we don't want them to have the waters, we don't want them to listen to their brother, we're going to start a fire in their community. We're going to maneuver and manipulate a situation where large numbers of their warriors are going to be caught up in a mass incineration. And then we're going to open the door to the prison and bring about a mass incarceration. But they plan, dearly beloved audience, and God planned. And God is the master plan. Allah is the master planner. God, Allah, all praise is due to him, is the wise one. Allah, the master planner, is the mighty one. And even though we made a mistake and allowed ourselves to be caught up in the hellfire of this world, Allah, the master planner, is all forgiving and most merciful. of Quran, who's bringing water to put out the fire and to call us back to our original nature. Men like Brother Afrat Muhammad, who will address you today, studied, supported, and followed the excellent light that God perfected that started in Newark with our dearly beloved brother, Noble Drew Ali. But he started with the seven circle Quran, which was not the Holy Quran. His work was completed when Imam Wahduddin Muhammad went into the Quran, unlocked it, and became no longer Sambo. That's why they call us Sambo. We lost our sunlight from West Africa. We lost our great knowledge of civilization. We lost our language. We lost our culture. You're no longer a strong civilization now. You're nothing but Sambo shining for me. And we have a brother that's going to make us strong today with a new light, a light that started in Newark, Brother Imam Afrat Muhammad. Are you ready, my brother?
Yes, sir.
Well, take it over. We appreciate the opportunity to kind of warm things up for you to bring the waters that's going to give new life to the souls and minds of those 7,000 people that you're addressing today. May God bless you and reward you, and may He bless and reward our brothers and sisters who got the strength to come together to make something happen, to make our communities and our families stronger. Be upon you, brother, ma'am. We turn it over to you.
Thank you for once again tuning in. Your religion means a lot. We're in the city of Newark, New Jersey, a city where Noah prophesied. Newark, a new ark. And after a deluge of flood, of emotionalism, a flood of violence, a flood of neglect, and a flood of death, of slavery, suffering, and death, we are honored and privileged beyond words to be in Newark, New Jersey, at the Weekway Park for the 19th annual New Africa Family Day. I'm honored and privileged here with listening audience, or you may be listening from, if you're listening from San Francisco, if you're listening from Rio de Janeiro, if you're listening from Halifax, Nova Scotia, or you're in the streets, or you're locked up, we have a message today to bring you. Religion means a line of the program, an initiative of a follower of Imam Robert Dean Muhammad, the man that inherited the deen, the death of Muhammad. Peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. And this is an address to the general public, and I want you to pay very close attention to our address. Recently this week, we find that three African Americans
Peace be on our noble and honorable listening audience. We'll return. We were trying to broadcast live on the air for Religion Meets the Live, but unfortunately, we cannot. We encountered some technical difficulties. Once again, listening once again to another edition of Religion Meets the Live. We'll see you on Monday at 7.